Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Well, thanks for coming to watch my video. This is about Ukraine's enhanced strike capability. So there was a major coup for the Ukrainians some days ago, 23rd of April, when they struck an FSB command post. That's Federalная служба безопасности. That's Russian internal intelligence, equivalent of MI5. But the FSB also deals with the near abroad, the quantum Soviet Union, and that's indicative of Russia's unacceptance of the independence of these countries whom it formerly recognized independence, such as Ukraine. The FSB, which screwed up very badly by not laying the groundwork properly for the invasion and saying, yep, half the Ukrainian population will welcome us, which was very, very badly wrong. Various other things, assassination operations, some key buildings to be seized or whatever. So the FSB, yeah, they're kind of a police force. They're detectives arresting people, but they also have like quasi-military units. So and Donetsk, one part, a region that's illegally occupied in eastern Ukraine. So blowing that up a few days ago. Now, I don't want to rejoice about the deaths of people. We're talking about human beings here. And maybe there's some decent guys in the FSB, but they knowingly serve a truly wicked regime. A genocidal regime, which has committed many massacres in Ukraine of civilians, which treats prisoners of war abominably as standard. There are very well attested accounts of the torture the Ukrainians have suffered, and you know many human rights organizations have validated this as medical evidence and so on. We know that Putin, he publicly adulates Stalin, one of the most prolific mass murderers of all time, who was rivaled only by Hitler. Stalin, someone who was so bloodthirsty, so sadistic, that some people thought that maybe Nazism wouldn't be quite as bad. That's the level of evil you're dealing with. What does it say about Putin that he is constantly heaping praise on Stalin and so on, who committed genocide against the Ukrainian people with a man-made famine in the early 1930s and so on? So the FSB are upholding this regime and arresting anybody who tells the plain truth, those who exercise their rights under the Russian constitution, freedom of association, the right to gather, the right to collect and exchange, to receive, transmit information and opinions and so forth, because the Russian constitution guarantees that there shall be no censorship, except. It's a bit like, you know, the United Kingdom, where free expression is more honoured than the breach of the observance. Now, I know the situation in the UK is not as bad, but it's already started down that road. I don't think it'll ever get as bad as Russia and so on. So the Ukrainian unmanned systems forces, they claim this. So the FSB, they're not just innocent police officers. They're very much a Gestapo. They're very much politicized, policing, arresting and torturing Ukrainians who are proud of being Ukrainian, who just want Ukraine to be a free country and so forth. And I don't mistake freedom for independence. They're not always the same, though in this case, they are. So the Ukrainians, they hit this multi-story building, which has not yet been completed, FP2 of drones. And so Ukraine is increasingly adept at manufacturing its own drones. Firepoint is a Ukrainian military manufacturing company producing these drones for medium range strikes. They can be up to 100 kilograms in payload. So they said there were 8 precision strikes on target. I'm surprised they had so many. So they're very proud of this. Hitting ammunition dumps, anything to do with logistics, weakening air defenses. What they're not managing, they often claim to shoot down helicopters and obviously destroying troops, you know, howitzers, tanks. So that's why the Russian spring offensive was a complete damn squib. They gained almost nothing, got pushed back in some sectors. So they're not crowing about it. I mean, it's their least successful year. You see the net territorial gain by Russia each year, and it's been less and less as their casualties have mounted. And of course, they've got only so many people. And Russia internal documents show they're really trying to boost their external recruitment. So about 2% of those fighting the Russian armed forces in Ukraine are foreigners. They're seeking to be boosted 3% recruited from sub-Saharan Africa in particular. They've recruited people from Sierra Leone, from Uganda, Tanzania, Kenya, South Africa, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Chad. These are just a few I know about. I think, you know, as Ukraine is really a priority, why does Russia not join its withdraw its Africa Corps, some of these former Wagner mercenaries fighting there in Mali without great success? I suppose Putin thinks, well, it's only a few thousand guys. It's not going to be determined of the outcome in Ukraine. It flies the flags there. It can turn it into a semi-colony or something like that, despite very much appealing to anti-colonial bigotry to anti-white racism. The Russians are white, but then they say, oh, but we're not European somehow. Goodness. And despite, and obviously Putin will buy into white supremacy as well, will back neo-Nazi groups, genuinely neo-Nazi groups in North America and European countries. So that's why, the Russians are chewing wire, really not making any progress. And yes, Ukraine suffers from Russian drone strikes, rocket strikes, glide bombs, not as badly as before. The Russians seem to have given up for a while trying to destroy Ukrainian electric grid. They were trying quite hard in the winter, and they caused the Ukrainians major headaches, but they didn't break Ukraine, and they're never going to break Ukraine, you know, because Ukraine is increasingly attached to the European electric grid, has got more renewable energy from wind power, from solar power, and so on. So, you know, the war might continue another 4 years, and Russia will still do this, but it'll pay less and less dividends. It will be a major headache for the Ukrainians, but not quite so bad next year, and not as bad as that next year. And the year after that, it'll be a little bit less serious, and so forth. And plus, they've got all those, you know, thermal sleeping bags, tents to build up inside, points of invincibility, and so forth. But one thing that Putin is very guarded about is he really cares about his precious air force. So he's not willing to risk that. He'd thrown every air force asset he had at the Ukrainians. To begin with, he would have wiped out the Ukrainian air force. He would have had air superiority, but he didn't go for it. Though this was such a moonlight steeplechase, he wasn't willing to bet the bank on it. If he had, then that would have really paid off for him. But it's too late now. But the Ukrainians, the one thing they'd like to do is try and destroy a lot of the Russian air force on the ground, because some of these glide bombs, a plane takes off, launches the glide bomb, sometimes over Russian airspace, and then goes home, lands, and then the glide bomb is almost impossible to stop. If you destroy that plane, it can't launch glide bombs ever. The plane itself, they are expensive. Even a really cheap fighter jet is like $10 million, often double that. Even that's a cheap Russian one. American ones are $100 million and up. And so he doesn't want to risk too many of those. We know, so you know that's a pressure point with him. So anyway, so the Ukrainians are increasingly skillful at creating things like, well, manufacturing these unmanned ground vehicles. Is that the future of warfare? And so they want to be able to replace troops, because troops are finite. In principle, unmanned ground vehicles, you can produce infinite numbers of them, you know, given enough money, given enough metal, and so on. But they can do the simple tasks. They don't have the judgment that humans can. Complicated situations, lack of clarity, they can't cope with. They're not very heavily defended because they're cheap, they're fast, they're mobile, not very little fuel needed, but they're quite easily destroyed. So if we don't really care, those that get destroyed, they can cost as little as $10,000. Now, they want to use ones that cost several times that at least. Nobody's been killed, nobody's been injured, even that's been destroyed. Whereas a tank is destroyed, it can do much of the same thing, but that's people killed, a crew of three, typically. They might be just injured, and you have to recruit the crew, you have to train the crew, that's much more difficult. Apparently controlling a UGV from hundreds of kilometers away, that's much faster to learn to do that. You don't need to be physically fit to do that at all. All right, so things are looking up for the Ukrainians. I'm not saying they're going to, you know, ever retake Crimea, but, you know, Russia's making minimal progress. Unfortunately, there's very little sign that they're going to slow the tempo of the war. They were just increasingly have fewer and fewer soldiers. You know, if there's a 5,000 troop shortage each month from those killed versus those recruited, after a year, it'd be 60,000. You know, 2 years, 120,000, 3 years, 180,000, 4 years, 240,000. That's most of the invasion force, and they just won't be able to keep going. But obviously, there's not a guarantee that's going to happen. Will the Russians become more masterful at defeating UGVs, Ukrainian first-person drones, or whatever? So the technological balance could shift the other way if the Russians become better at spoofing them, integrating the signal, or whatever. Right, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, George Callan, 790@gmail.com. Goodbye.